Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. The sermon comes from the epistle reading, which Pastor Adel read from 1 John chapter 3. And the epistle reading, basically the main thrust of the epistle reading, is that we should love each other in deed and in truth. This is what John says in 18. Little children, let us not love in word or talk. It's easy, right? It's easy to say, well, I love them. I love Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. I love the mission of Jesus Christ here in Glencarvan. It's easy to, I love the people that I go to church with. It's easy to say something like that, but I mean, we all know, right? We all know that that's pretty shallow at times. A lot of times that's just a veneer over our lack of love. So John says, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. So indeed, in action, love is not words. Everybody, you know that, right? Even less so is love an emotion. Love is an action. It's something that you do. So when the Bible commands us to love each other, it's not talking about a state of mind, or it's not reminding us to be sure to tell each other. Although it's good to have like affection for each other. It's good to say the words, I love you. But what it's actually talking about is doing things that are deeds of love, doing deeds of love. So we're supposed to love in deed. Second thing, and in truth. What does it mean to love in truth? I don't think it just means really, really love them, or, you know, don't fake love people. I would think that would go without saying, that John wouldn't feel the need to say, when you love people, don't fake it. He tells us what truth means when he says in verse 18, let us love in deed and in truth. Verse 19 goes on, by this we shall know that we are of the truth. So then he's going to explain in the next five verses what it means to be in the truth, to live in the truth, so that we can love each other indeed and in truth. And I'm not going to read through the whole of those five verses. They're good. But the heart of those five verses is verse 23, which says, this is his command. So John's explaining what it means to love in truth. This is God's commandment that we, one, believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. So you're to love one another, but you're to love each other by believing in the name of Jesus Christ. Right? So somehow, the love that we're supposed to have for each other is somehow bound up with our faith in Jesus. What does our faith in Jesus have to do with how we feel about each other, the things that we do for each other? And it's quite simple. We'll talk about it. It's back in verse 16. When you, and I know that you guys do, when you understand who Jesus is and what he's done, it twists around and subverts what the word love means in our culture and what the word love means in most of our brains. It turns it on its head and gives it an entirely new meaning. The kind of meaning that will allow us to actually love each other in truth and indeed. Think about the way that you use the word love. Think about the things that you say that you love. So I say I love frozen custard. Well, what do I mean when I say I love frozen custard? I love frozen custard. What it means is I think that frozen custard is delicious. And unless I can control myself, or Angela can tell me not to, she can control me for myself, I will eat as much frozen custard as I can. That's what I mean when I say I love frozen custard. It tastes really, really good to me. What do I mean when I say I love jazz? It means that I like to listen to jazz. I like the way it makes me feel. I like the thoughts that go through my head when I'm listening to jazz. If I'm sitting in front of a radio and I've got a choice of a station to choose, I'm going to choose jazz because I love jazz. I love jazz because it makes me happy, it makes me thoughtful, whatever it is. I enjoy it. I love jazz. What do I mean when I say I love my friends? Usually I mean the same thing. If I say I love them, what I mean usually is that I have a really, really good time when we're together. I really enjoy talking to them. I enjoy hanging out with them. I enjoy thinking about them. I love my friends. Now see what all those uses of the word love have in common? They all have to do with my tastes. They all have to do with something that makes me happy. I love frozen custard because it tastes good. I love jazz because it sounds good. I love my friends because they're fun to me. What Jesus is going to do is he's going to take and he's going to turn that on his head in verse 16. Watch what he does. By this we know love. You want to know what love actually is? Because he's going to tell us in just a few verses, the verse that I just read to us, which is you need to love each other, not in word, but in deed and in truth. If we're going to be able to do that, we have to know what love actually is. And so he says, let me tell you what love actually is. It's not feeling good about each other, although we hope that we do. It's not enjoying each other's company, although I hope that we do. It's something different. By this we know love, that Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. True love has less to do with how it makes you feel good and more to do with an act of self-sacrifice. This is true love, John says. This is what true love is, according to God. Is that true love is laying down your life. By the way, that's why we're reading this text tonight on Good Shepherd Sunday, because Jesus says in John chapter 10, Pastor Abel just read this, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd and I lay down my life for the sheep. John is remembering this and he's saying this was love, that Jesus laid down his life for us. And so, loving your brothers and sisters means giving up your life for your brothers and sisters. Because that's the pattern of love that Jesus established. When Jesus loved us, it was giving up himself. When we love each other, it's giving up ourselves. There's no middle ground here in the text. There's two types of people in the text. There's haters and there's lovers. There's those who take and there's those who give. And you can't find any middle ground in there. It's not possible for you to stroll in here to church and think, you know what? There are people sitting around me in the pews who are lonely. There are people who are struggling with debt. There are people who are going through serious, serious grief. I'm not really going to deal with any of that. You know, I'm just here to worship. It's not possible for you to come in here and sit down, you know, and throw God a tip, throw a 20 in the plate, and feel like, you know, I've done my duty. That's taking. That is murder. That's treating this as something that's to benefit you. And you know that we all do this, right? We all feel like, we all hold ourselves back from each other. We all feel like we're doing God a favor, either by throwing in your tip, your 20, or by giving God $500 a week. We feel like we're doing him a favor. But we don't want to give ourselves, actually, to the body of Christ. We don't mind complaining if there's hymns being sung that we don't like. We don't mind complaining if there's choices being made that we don't agree with. Right? So what are we doing? What are we doing? We're thinking of love. We know this is supposed to have something to do with love, but we're thinking of it in terms of what makes me happy, what satisfies me, what can I, you know, what's the minimal that I can stroll in here and do and still be Christian? This is how we think of love. But instead, what God says is that you can't, if you know what the gospel is, if Jesus is in your heart, you cannot be a taker. You have to be a giver. Let me say it a different way. There's two people in this text that John holds up against each other. There's Jesus, of course, that we just read about, who loves us so much that he laid down his life for us. But there's one other character way back in verse 11. John says, this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Of course, that's the meaning of this whole text. And we didn't read verse 11 tonight, but verse 12 says, we should not be like Cain. You remember Cain from Genesis chapter 4? Cain who murdered his brother because, well, for whatever reasons. He was jealous. He felt ashamed because his sacrifice wasn't accepted by God. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. There are two people in this text. Let me say it this way. There is going to be a death. Your existence will revolve around a death. It will either be your death. That's the pattern of Christianity. Embracing the death of Jesus Christ and realizing that we're just dead men walking. And so, because of the gospel, we give up our lives for each other, or you can be a murderer. Those are your two choices, Jesus or Cain. And there's no middle ground. And if you say, I'm not going to be involved with people's lives, but you know, I kind of love everybody. I have this general sort of affection for what goes on here. You're actually, in John's scheme, you're actually a murderer. You're a taker. You're a hoarder of life. This is what we do, right? I mean, I see my wife as an appliance in my house frequently. Like, I don't give myself, she has certain tasks that she's supposed to perform to make my life comfortable. And if she does those tasks, I'm happy with her. That's the Cain kind of living, right? Not the Jesus kind of living, where love for Angela is supposed to be me sacrificing myself for her. This, of course, is impossible, right? I mean, so John says, basically, love everybody like Jesus loved you. We are so programmed to think about ourselves and to serve ourselves and to love ourselves and to think about love as a way of satisfying ourselves. It's hard for us to think about love in terms of serving each other. It is impossible. We have two things going for us. One is, and I hope that our hearts condemn us now. I hope that our hearts condemn us for not loving each other like we're supposed to, not giving ourselves over to the body of Christ like we're supposed to. The good news is that when our hearts do condemn us, there's an answer for this problem, and it's in verse 24. I'm sorry, it's in verse 20. For whenever, so John says, love each other like Christ loved the church. Lay down your life for the brothers and sisters, just like Jesus laid down his life for the church. For whenever your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. So I hope that your heart is telling you you're guilty of this. And the reason why your heart is telling you that you're guilty of this is because your heart is guilty of this. This is what your heart wants. Your heart wants you to be satisfied. Your heart wants frozen custard. Not to serve frozen custard to others. But when your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. How does God overcome that desire of your heart to love yourself and not others? Well, the answer for John is that God lives in you. Verse 24, whoever keeps his commands abides in God and God in him. You guys have been baptized into Jesus. God lives inside of you and you live inside of God. You have at your fingertips the power to love people like you're supposed to. Not perfectly, of course. You'll always be fighting against your sinful nature. But because Jesus lives in your heart, you're able to love each other like Jesus loves each other. And this is where it goes back to. The God who lives in your heart is the God. Look, you can't do this on your own, right? But you can love each other because the God who lives in your heart is the God who became human so that he could take a bullet for you. You can lay down your life for your brothers and sisters because the God who lives in your heart is the God who became human so that he could lay down his life for us. Amen.